Everything Is Earned podcast. I'm your host, CLE Tallboy.
And I am Tim, a.k.a. It's Contagious.
You know what? You know what's contagious, Tim?
What's contagious?
Browns fever. And America has it. Big time. So, today we're going to break down all the stuff that's going on in your Cleveland sports world. So today we're going to break down all the things happening in the NFL offseason with the Browns. We're going to talk about the moves we've made. We're going to talk about the moves the Browns should look to make. Everything that surrounds the OBJ trade. We're going to get into a little bit about John Dorsey. And then we're going to break down what 2019 is going to look like for the Browns. So right off the get-go, let's talk about what moves the Browns have made thus far.
Let's start off with the biggest one. OBJ got traded to Cleveland. Can I say that again? Odell Beckham Jr., the guy that makes spectacular one-handed catches, is coming to Cleveland. On his way to Cleveland. Not just visiting, because, you know, apparently people don't do that, but to play in a Cleveland Browns jersey.
Yeah, he's not just watching a Cavs game, guys. He's going to be in a Browns uniform. He's going to rep the city of Cleveland.
Catch a lot of touchdowns and help us win.
And him and Jarvis Landry are going to be the best duo in the NFL.
The NBA 2K duo come to life. You know the OJ? They're the real life OJ.
The real life OJ?
Yeah.
Okay. It's day one. It's steak sauce, bro. Steak sauce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, me and you, right? We think John Dorsey cut the New York Jams cookies. What's his name?
Dave Gettleman.
Dave Gettleman. We took his cookies.
Yeah, Dave Gettleman basically gave the Browns everything without hardly anything in return. I can't believe that all it took was a first, a third, and Jabril Peppers.
Jabril Peppers. Actually, we merged the deal with the Kevin Zettler deal. Yeah, we traded for Olivier Vernon, Odell Beckham. We didn't do that fourth, fifth round swap like it originally said. And we gave, Zettler, the purple white guard, Jabril Peppers, and the first and third. So the number 17th pick in first round and number 95th. So it was a later third round pick.
Now, we've been talking about value with John Dorsey, and I love this because
he got it.
He got the value, man. I thought you were going to have to give up two firsts or some kind of massive deal to get OBJ.
And like a future third and a future fourth and maybe Zettler and another big piece.
But they just said, go ahead and have him. Like, they pretty much said, you can take him, which is surprising. So a lot of Browns fans that are a little old school will call Odell things like a diva or a drama queen or someone who just causes chaos. Yeah.
Or distraction.
And I super disagree. If you have Eli on your team and he can't throw the ball 40 yards.
20 yards.
20 yards. Wouldn't you be a little bit frustrated too?
If you're one of the best wide receivers in the game, I'd be pretty frustrated.
He's top three, dude. It literally goes Julio, Antonio Brown, OBJ, and then DeAndre Hopkins. Or it's top four, whatever.
I put Mike Evans above Antonio Brown.
Mike Evans, really?
Yeah. I would have said, not in any particular order, but OBJ, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans, what was it?
Julio?
And Julio.
Yeah.
No particular order. I'd probably say Julio is top, and I'd say, yeah. If we're doing order, let's do order. Julio's number one, Odell's number two, Hopkins number three, and I'd probably say Mike Evans is number four.
Oh, all right. I can live with that. That's actually not a bad order for your list right there. I think that's a pretty solid order. So you go and get the second best wide receiver in the league, and it didn't cost you hardly anything. That's pretty impressive. One of the things to put in perspective is everyone was a little bit bummed out that the Browns didn't sign C.J. Mosley. Would you rather have Mosley or would you rather have Odell?
Would you rather have $50 million guaranteed to an edge rusher or a linebacker who is not athletic enough? It would be overpaid. Or do you want to get a skilled position player who's top three at that position?
I'll take Odell.
He helps you win. He helps you win way more.
Yeah, I think he makes those one or two or three plays.
We have four or five plays, Wade Farmer, talking about you.
That can tip a ball game. I'm down with it. Good luck guarding the Browns this year because it's an absolute ridiculous combination with what the Browns have put out there on offense. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, what'd be our starting lineup? We had Baker Mayfield at quarterback, Nick Chubb, Duke Johnson splitting carries, Kareem Hunt whenever he comes back from the alleged suspension that he'll get from the NFL that hasn't been decided yet. And then OBJ, Landry. Right now we have Callaway because we haven't we signed Higgins. We put a tender, his original tender on there, which was a fifth round pick. That's what we drafted him at. So that's why it's original round. And then Njoku at the tight end.
Yeah, that's a really sick lineup. Yeah,
I have a question. Is that the most explosive offense in the NFL?
Tim, so everyone's listening. Yes, it is. Yes, it's the most explosive offense in the NFL. Don't tell me that the Kansas City Chiefs are better. Don't tell me the Saints are better. And sure as crap, don't tell me like someone from the AFC North is better, because it simply isn't true.
Okay, Mike. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah, it's good to know. Yeah, it's great to know, actually, because I think, and we said this before, if you put Baker Mayfield in a pressure situation in a big-time game, that boy is going to come up, and he's going to make a play. So that's why I'm so excited about this move, because if you get him in the playoffs, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen.
You have no idea what's going to happen. It's literally a guessing game, because once we get in, that's the first step. Once we get in the playoffs, you just basically just hands off and see what happens. And basically just watch and see what happens. Because we didn't. My optimistic Bond fan in me say we can go all the way. I want to see how John Dorsey handles the next few days in free agency and what he does in the drafts. But if he keeps on showing up, these holes that he's filling like this, potentially Aaron Bailey being the next guy, yeah, we could potentially go all the way.
Yeah, you just got to get in. And when you have a good quarterback and you get hot at the right time, things can happen. So I really like the move a lot. I think it's great for not only Browns, but for the NFL. Look at what they're going to do to the Browns' schedule now. You can play a max 5 games in primetime. So I think the Browns will get the max 5. I mean, you're talking about probably a Monday night game, at least one. A Thursday night game, probably a Sunday night game. And then probably an opening weekend game. How great is the NFL's, is it the 100th year thing?
100th, yep.
Yeah, so why would you not want to put Brady versus Baker week 1?
Is that the first game?
Or why not put Steelers-Browns week 1 as one of the classic rivalries that you'd start the season with? I think it'd be pretty epic. There's no schedule out yet, dude.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Are you sure they're not set?
Yeah, I'm...
Our opponents are set. We talked about this. Come on, opponents Tim. Are set, but yeah, the schedule itself.
Yeah, it's not coming out for a while, bro.
Okay, you're right.
I'm busy over here like, uh-oh, we're going to do a schedule by schedule, game by game.
Okay, you said week 1 with Brady.
I said, what if you did a week 1?
Oh, okay.
Versus Brady in the spotlight.
But
That game would be so highly televised. And you know what moves the needle? Football states.
Moves the needle.
Football towns. Big time programs.
Revenue?
We're the largest fans base in the NFL, the Browns are.
The best.
And we haven't had the opportunity to really show what that means.
Because our team has been so bad over the years.
But wake up, y'all. The Browns have arrived, and we're going to show out like you have never seen before. This fan base and this city of Cleveland is going to be freaking the crap out.
What nuts.
Yeah.
If the Nation hasn't seen it yet, what nuts.
You thought the Bills Mafia had a nice little tailgate? Wait till you see the Muni lot on national television. That place is bonkers. And looking at the Browns' upcoming season, that place is going to be the place to be come Sunday morning for everyone in Cleveland. If you're a young person or a Browns fan or someone who just wants to join the party because it's going to be that good, the Muni lot's going to be the place to be. And we're going to be there all freaking season, man. That's going to be an absolute blast.
I agree. It's going to be insane over there. And there's going to be some huge games out there. We play the Rams at home. We probably going to play the Patriots somewhere. I think we'll play the Chiefs at some time as well. And then, obviously, the two games apiece, poor division rival. It's going to be banging over there.
Yeah, it's going to be in Cleveland. It's going to be freaking awesome. I can't wait. And it's only freaking March, and we have to wait till September. Oh, man.
Jeez.
Oh my goodness. Is it too early to buy Browns tickets?
Nope, they're sold out.
Well, the season tickets are, but is it too early to buy, like, your single games?
If you want to pay more or less, depending.
If you want to get the best value for your Browns seats, should you buy them now off of third-party markets, or should you wait till they become available, like, on other sites or on the official single-game tickets?
I think they'll probably be the cheapest right now, honestly. Because John Wall Street's only done it better and better as this offseason's going to go.
Should have bought tickets like a day ago. Then if you want to get the best price.
2 days ago.
And everyone just said, oh, crap, I'm going to raise my price. Here comes the value.
Quick question.
Good job out of me.
Is this the best deal that the Browns have ever made? The OBJ deal?
It's the best deal the Browns have ever made. Hands down, not even close. Some people might say that Baker drafting was the best deal, but when you look at value, when you look at getting it right, I think this is that type of deal because...
Best trade?
Baker starts the whole situation. He starts the Browns moving in the right direction. You can't do this without Baker, so that's
important. Baker and Jarvis, yeah.
And the Jarvis deal looks amazing now, by the way.
Game of fourth rounder.
Game
of fourth rounder.
Jarvis, and his contract looks amazing too, because if it takes paying Jarvis a little bit more money to bring OBJ, then so be it. The fact that you got Jarvis and he brought OBJ basically makes that trade amazing.
That's a great recruitment by Jarvis, by the way. Might say he's done a better job recruiting than LeBron did when he was in Cleveland.
It's pretty impressive. Who's a better recruiter, LeBron or Jarvis? Let's talk about it.
I'd say Jarvis, but definitely, yeah. Shoot us some comments on the social medias.
Yeah, I want to know about that one. I think that's a really interesting discussion to have. You bring up a really good point there. Because
it's fun.
You don't just go out there and bring the second best or the best in some people's eyes wide receiver without, like, a connection. Like
They have crazy chemistry, too. They played together over at LSU.
You know what's interesting else about the LSU connection is the Browns wide receiver coach, Adam Henry, was also the wide receiver coach at LSU. Yeah, isn't that impressive?
It was.
It's going to be so much fun.
That's both fat.
Holy crap.
So there's already chemistry there. There's already knowledge on how they're going to use both of those players.
Dude, it's like having the handbook of how
And Baker has did some off-season workouts with OBJ because he did some workouts when we traded for Landry, and that's who was there, OBJ, one of his best friends.
Interesting.
Landry's best friends.
It's very interesting. Could it be the PB&J type of combination LeBron had with Dwayne and a football aspect?
Jarvis and Odell? Are you asking, was there going to be some lateral tosses? Some halftime...
Jet sweeps?
Yeah, some jet sweeps, yeah.
Are you going to have Odell throwing deep to Jarvis?
That's the new Cleveland special.
Yeah, or Jarvis to or Jarvis to Odell.
It's the OJ special, orange juice.
Yeah, you're really on this orange juice thing, Tim.
I am.
I think you're a little too much into the orange juice.
No, I don't think so.
All
right.
I'm so stoked. I think as a Cleveland fan, you always like hope that you guys get good players when you talk about it on social media, and it rarely ever happens that the Browns or like any Cleveland team goes out and gets a big name like this. And for John Dorsey, just be like, "We're going for it, man. We're gonna go for it. This is our window. Look how young our team is. Let's go for it. Look at how young the team is. We broke this down yesterday. I mean, we got some seriously young guys on this roster. It's pretty impressive. You got Baker Mayfield, who's 23. You got Odell Beckham Jr., who's 26.
So is Jarvis.
You got Nick Chubb, 23. You got Duke Johnson, who's 25. Kareem Hunt's 23.
Whenever he comes back.
Yeah, you got Antonio Callaway, who's 22.
And Njoku is also 22.
Are you freaking kidding me? How many of those guys are already locked up into contracts?
Or on the rookie deal.
On the rookie deal. Talking about windows.
Yeah. So John Dorsey is trying to execute and really take advantage of the rookie deals and the contracts that is already set in place with Jarvis and Odell and the pieces we have on defense with Demarius Randle and players like that. And try to make that playoff push, try to make that Super Bowl run.
Yeah,
I love it. It's very smart.
When you talk about windows, this is how you do it.
It's how you execute
in the NFL. How'd the Rams get to the Super Bowl? They had a rookie contract for Jared Goff, and they had a couple guys
on the contracts. Aaron Donald and Todd Gurley when we started.
I know, and you make the push when the window's open, and you go get yourself a big time player like Odell. And
you execute and fill gaps around them.
Absolutely. I mean,
fill out your team, just like John Dorsey's doing.
Big-time players make big-time plays, and you just got yourself a big-time player.
And he's taking risk. He doesn't care about it.
Yeah, there's definitely some risk involved here, and anyone who wants to poo-poo this trade or talk about how the Browns shouldn't have traded the first round pick.
He's a diva.
Get over yourselves. This is the best.
If Josh Brown was still here, we would have 25 draft picks for this year's draft, and we would be drafting players like Justin Gilbert over Desu Odell Beckham.
Yeah, wild, man. Wild.
So when you have the assets, pull the trigger and get established players that can actually play in the NFL.
Also, who cares about the who cares a lot less about the draft now? Now
that
the
Browns I care less. Do you care about DK Metcalf now?
Not really.
I don't really care.
No, not at all. I'm not even worried about what happens with DK Metcalf. I'm good at my receiver core. I'm pretty set.
Minus LeSean Higgins. We need to sign him. We need to lock him up. Yeah. We gave him that fifth round tender. I thought it was low because it was his original draft tender. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, I guess he's gonna test the market, and hopefully we can match a deal that time with him, because injuries happen, and we don't know what's going to happen with OBJ, because he hasn't played a full season in, three years, or his entire NFL career, actually.
Kind of give a little flip side of the coin
sure.
here. I think, honestly, Higgins will probably go to a team like the Patriots, because he's...
Can't wait to destroy the Patriots.
Because he's got a lot of value there, and because he's actually, I think, pretty underrated.
He's only getting it better. Too, yeah. When he stays healthy.
And I think someone's going to see that in the NFL. But this is the flip side of the coin, though. When you make big trades, sometimes you lose out on these lower-level players. But the lower-level players aren't the ones that are going to win you Super Bowls.
Like Perryman, we signed him to a one-year, $40 million deal. And after we traded for Odell Beckham, he called John Dorsey, and he basically mutually agreed with him that he wanted to back out of the deal. And then he signed the same deal over in Tampa.
Which is fine. And that's what some of the stuff you're going to have to deal with when you're a team that's on the rise and is trying to hit their window. You're going to have to deal with some of these lower-level players that just aren't going to make the roster cut or going to have to get traded because we upgraded.
Yeah, we're trying to get paid.
So let's look at some of the other players that the Browns traded for, and that kind of segues into what we're talking about here.
Trade for, sign for.
So, yeah. For example, the Browns released Darren Fells, but today they added...
And Jamie Collins.
Yeah, and they added... Demetrius Harris. He is definitely an upgrade from Darren Fells. Guy's a great blocker. He was an unrestricted free agent.
He's 6'7".
When Dorsey picked him up back in 2013, he's not going to light it up out there. He played behind Travis Kelce, but he's an outstanding run blocker. And he's played with Kareem Hunt, so there's a little connection there as well. So I think you're seeing this where Dorsey's going to go out there and get some of these Kansas City guys.
Some of his guys. Absolutely. From his old regime. Speaking of which, Eric Berry was this... released by the Kansas City Chiefs. They didn't want to pay the $7.5 million extension that was due on Friday, so they waived him before they had to pay that. And he's a former Pro Bowler. He's been a Pro Bowler five times.
I think one of the best things about Eric Berry is what you get in the locker room.
His character.
He's a guy that has not only done it at a very high level, but he's also overcome adversity.
He's very resilient.
He had a bout with cancer. Overcame that. He came back from Achilles tear last year. Came back from that.
2017. He came back, yeah.
And from all reports and everything that people say about him, he's just the phenomenal guy you want in the locker room who's going to be a real presence and is going to help push a group to being more successful.
I think he can be that anchor in the Brown secondary that was kind of lacking with the lack of veteran leadership we had.
Well,
I think that's why Demarius Randall helped a little bit. I think he didn't really guide Denzel Ward through not only through playing on the field, but his struggles trying to stay healthy.
I think it's a good point, and I think that if you add a veteran guy, Barry's a great guy to do it because you need to add a piece or two that's a veteran presence.
He'd definitely be the oldest on this defense because we have, I think the oldest right now is Vonnen and Sheldon Richardson, who we signed. Oh, we traded for and signed at 28. And then, I mean, listen, though, list this off here a little bit. Our best about seven, eight players here. Demarius Randall is 26, Schobert's 25, Ojanobi is 24, and then we have Dara is 23, and then Denzel Ward at 21. It's a very young core. Some of these older guys like Olivier Vonnen, Richardson, and then Eric Berry, I think, would be the most helpful in that locker room. Would really kind of round out that defense and bring what's been missing.
Yeah, I think a veteran guy is a great add. I think you obviously have to find some kind of replacement for Jabril Peppers. It's not like you lost like a superstar by any means, But I think Jabril is a guy who is still on the up and up.
He's a lot of potential. I mean, that's why he made a lot of sense over in New York.
Yeah, I agree with it. I think he can definitely realize some potential over there. And I think they obviously think very highly of him to include him in that trade. I'd also be up for Justin Houston if you want to do both of those guys.
Yeah, we need some more depth at linebacker. I agree. We did sign a few young guys or a few unproven players. We re-signed Ray Ray Armstrong, who we picked up midway through last year. As a linebacker. And then we signed Adarius Thomas from Tampa, who mostly played on a practice squad. He's 28. We signed him to a two-year, $5 million contract, which is very friendly, and only about half of that, 2.55, is guaranteed. So it's another one of those proven players just for extra linebacker depth. But I would still love to sign Justin Houston, the former Pro Bowler.
That's my boy. John Dorsey just finding value when he can find value. I think it's outstanding. I'm a big fan of that. Like
the fun thing I do like about the Adarius Taylor signing is that he played on a former or new Browns defense coordinator, Steve Wilks, over in Carolina, the Panthers.
That's an interesting connection there. I wonder if Steve Wilks knew something about him and said, "Hey, this guy's got potential. Let's go grab him."
He's underrated. We can get him at a very cap-friendly deal. I agree.
Let's go into who's still out there on the market. Now, obviously, this could change any second. I like Clay Matthews. I like Ezekiel Ansah. And
I still like Golden Tate. I don't know if he fits with or he complements current wide receiver as well, but I've always been a fan of Golden Tate. I would actually like to pick up Michael Crabtree, because I think he really he fits way better in that mold, because we have two small guys in Jarvis Landry. I think we need a bigger player on the outside to kind of be more of a red zone threat.
You don't think Njoku's big enough red zone threat?
He is, but I think when we can line up four wide receivers, I think he'd be really helpful.
I think if you go pick up freaking
a kicker? A kicker. Give me a kicker.
Freaking Michael Crabtree. I think he's a bum. Let me just be very honest. I think Michael Crabtree's a bum. Okay. Yeah. I think he's washed up and I don't want him at all on the roster. Keep his broken
Is that who Josh Norman took his chain? No, that was a cheap lead. He took Michael Crabtree's chain. Was it twice?
Yeah, twice, yeah. I don't want that bum on my team. We wrecked him when the Browns played the Ravens last year. If he's not good enough for the Ravens, he's not good enough for my Browns. No, thank you.
Okay, fair.
No, thank you. How about some kickers? You said Steven Gostkowski.
I'll still take Matt Bryan.
Yo.
He's super old.
I went in about Matt Bryant last week, and I can't tell you how much more I'm in on Matt Bryant now that the Browns have got OBJ.
Have a team. I'm going to say it. I said a couple times last week. I said it in episodes past. As Brown fans, you know this. We were a decent kicker away from winning, three or four games last year? And three or four games with a person where the playoffs?
The playoffs?
Which we've only done once since returning in 1999. So I like the playoffs. Do you like the playoffs?
I would love the playoffs, actually. So we'll get Matt Bryant because the dude doesn't miss things. And he is a straight up kicker.
He doesn't miss field goals or extra points.
No, he doesn't.
Man is accurate.
He's straight money. They call him Money Matt Bryant. He's 42, and I'm perfectly fine with him being 42 because
Adam Vinatieri is 46 and still kicking bombs over in Indy.
Yeah, he's awesome. You know what's really good out there is Justin Tucker with the Ravens.
He is. He's underrated.
You know who made the playoffs last year?
The Ravens.
Yeah, they did. Okay. So point made, we want a kicker and we'd like some linebackers. Thank you, John Dorsey. That would be great.
I would like a little bit more secondary help, too.
You know what? Yeah, you do have to get a couple secondary pieces. I think you
Eric
might
Bailey or address it through the draft.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you go to the draft, I think that's what you're looking for right now is going to be some secondary help.
And some offensive line help. We need. I know we have Austin Corbett waiting there, looking to fill that position, but I think some more depth at offensive line also would help.
You also have Harrison. I think Harrison is also a plug-and-play piece.
I am not as high on Harrison as you are.
He is very athletic. I just don't think he should play the left tackle. I think he should move into a guard, and that would be, lovely.
Okay.
So
that sounds good.
That's my role. Also, since we're talking about the line, I think that Greg Robinson is more or less a placeholder for the next 2 years, and maybe more, depending on how the O-line gels.
I think John Lewis, yeah, I think he's filling that role right now and waiting to see what top left tackles will be available in the next coming years. But I'm very high on Dread Robinson.
I don't think...
Well, he was part of that unit that only gave up 5 sacks in the final 8 games, which is the lowest in the NFL.
Okay, let's think about a couple things real quick. I don't think that the offensive line is a place you want to tie up a lot of money in. Just as a hot take here, because look at the past Super Bowl winners. I mean, okay, obviously the Eagles had a really good offensive line. I'm not going to discount their offensive line. Their offensive line was awesome.
Still excellent.
The Patriots didn't have a great offensive line this year.
Pittsburgh did when they won.
Yeah, I just don't think you need to put a whole lot of money into it. I think you put some money into it, but not a ton of money. I think moving Zettler out was just fine because you can't have that much assets tied up in your O-line. Especially with a quarterback that has good pocket presence. Like
I agree. Put him more in your
skill position.
Your skill position players.
Which is what they did.
Agreed. Yep.
Yeah, so I'm with that. And then you got to have a couple studs on defense. So
Miles Garrett stud. So is Denzel Ward. Joe Schobert is underrated as a stud. Because he does so much for the Browns defense. Pass coordinators, Dread Williams and his son. And I think Hugh Jackson raves about how he's basically another coach on the field. So having to do all that and do what you're supposed to do your own job, is very difficult. So I think while he was healthy, I think he was trying to get used to that a little bit.
Yeah, I like it. I think
yeah, I think Olivier Vernon is a great pair to match up with Miles Garrett on the edge. I think that's going to be devastating. And I think you're going to get underrated, kind of unforeseen production out of Leo Ojinobi, who was playing with injury most of the year last year.
Dude's an absolute animal. He had like a
played with torn
bicep, and he's like,
whatever.
We'll make it happen. We'll go out there and show what we're made of. I think it's impressive. I'm all about it. Looking into the 2019 outlook, I like...
We still have our same prediction, 12-4? Or are we moving it to 13-3?
I think 12-4 is a very realistic number. Because
for the Browns?
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns.
The Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
I think it's realistic because you add top level talent like that, and look at the teams that were like high flying offenses last year. I mean, your Rams were pretty high, weren't they? Like
Rams, Kansas City, the Saints.
Yeah, those are all teams that
wouldn't be a top 5 offense next year.
Yeah, no doubt.
Pull any big injury.
Yeah, don't be doing that,
knock on wood. Whatever you are, make sure you knock on wood.
Yeah, there'll be no injuries. Alright, now that's out the way. Yeah, the Browns are going to be a top 5 offense next year. They're going to be absolutely outstanding.
Well, I mean, we were the best offense in the last 8 weeks. With who we had, with what Baker had. He had Nick Chubb, he had Duke Johnson, Higgins. Without a true number 1. Now we have true number 1 in Odell Beckham. So, Jarvis can go back to his old appropriate role in being the second best or the second number 2 wide receiver,
which is fine by me.
Which is excellent because I think he was a little bit out of his comfort zone trying to take down that load as the number 1.
Okay, but you also have to like remember that you had Todd Haley who was trying to run an archaic offense, and then he was trying to steal
the head coaching job from Hugh Jackson,
which is wild, man.
Which is crazy.
We are not even like 8 months removed from that nonsense. That's so crazy to me. Like 8 months ago, we were talking about Todd Haley like plotting.
John Dorsey's the
Hugh
goat.
Jackson's job.
The goat. What a GM.
Yeah. What a GM John Dorsey is. The dude's outstanding. I think
he might win Executive of the Year.
He will absolutely.
Manager of the Year.
Yeah. Without a doubt. One
final
debate question here: Who's a better GM in Cleveland history, David Griffin or John Dorsey?
Well, one has won you a championship, based off his transactions that he's made and the position he put the team in, along with obviously LeBron James. And one is in the midst of doing the same thing, but what's the start of it? So I give it to David Griffin now, but John Dorsey's tenure is still going on, so I think when it's all said and done, it could possibly be John Dorsey.
I think that's a good point because I think Dorsey built most of this team himself.
By himself.
All the core pieces with the assets, were built by him.
So people mention, also, let's do this the other way. Saucy Brown is now responsible for what John Dorsey has done in Cleveland over the last couple of months here.
Are you really going to tell me that Saucy's a hero here?
No.
For tearing it down? I could have torn it down.
We should have all tore it down. I mean, if we want to tear it down, we should have created more chaos with Hugh Jackson and down fight earlier. Yeah. That's the only thing I'd probably say that Saucy Brown didn't do. I mean, he's a joke, right? He built his team by himself. He put this team on his city on his back. No, he didn't.
My bad.
John Dorsey. Wrong name. I apologize. It's John Dorsey.
Yeah.
He did that.
Yeah, John Dorsey has accomplished all the things in like a year.
A year and a half. Almost 2 years.
Messed around, built himself a team.
Yeah. Moved a few people here, got a few underproducing players over there, some toxic coaches on the side over there.
Got rid of players that we didn't want over there, Jamie Collins.
Speaking of which, yeah, Jamie Collins, straight trash. anyone who thinks otherwise didn't look at the effort that he put in on a play-to-play basis.
But really, yeah, if I'm a former player last couple years, I'm kind of like, damn, wish I could have played for the Browns.
Yeah, it's a weird sentence to say, isn't it?
It would have been fun.
Man, I would love to play for the Browns. That's a lot. I think it's a lot of free agents and players that have a few players that are free agents and a few players that entered the draft are kind of thinking in their heads.
That's right. Hot destination, Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, speaking of...
The place to be.
Speaking of bringing bad things from prior episodes, are the Browns now definitively America's team?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Are they, Mike?
Tim? Yeah, yes, they are.
Mike, why is that?
Because OBJ is immensely popular, and Baker Mayfield is immensely popular, and John Dorsey is immensely popular. And no one on this team is not likable.
Is that all it takes?
Those are all my takes. The Browns are likable as hell.
They're likable and the popular. That's the two. You heard it here first, guys. Those are the two things, the only two things needed to be America's team. Apparently,
we're also going to kick everyone's butt. Let's get that out of the way.
I can't wait to destroy the entire AFC North. They've been riding on us. Since we've returned in 1999. I've been alive for all those years. I cannot wait to shove it right back down their throats for the next 10 to 15 years.
Wow, you're going way
I'm low. Going, yeah, okay, 6 to 8. Let's say that.
6 to 8. Right,
that's more
cool,
more
realistic. Jets, man. I
can't wait.
I just want 3 to 5.
I'm going to be the least nicest person I've ever been in the next 2 to 4 years here.
Dude, I'm going to be very cocky about the
You
Browns.
Didn't take that to the bank.
Timmy's gonna be very, very boastful about the Browns.
Nope, I've been very nice. You know, I'm suffering along with you guys. I can't wait to just shove it all in the rest of the AFC North's face.
Yeah, I'm for that. I like shoving things in people's faces.
Especially when you're good and you can back it up. Like people are like, oh, you had to make the playoffs. Ha! We're not to make the playoffs. That's funny. Old people would say that we're not the best team in the AFC North.
Left. Holy crap, Skip Bayless how said the Steelers are still better.
How
Holy
do people
crap,
say
Skip
that?
Bayless. Oh my gosh, what are you doing?
How?
Just a quick note, though.
Okay, quick note. How? One more quick note. But how? We were the best team in the AFC North before trading for Odell Beckham.
So, now that we've established the Browns are the best team in the AFC North, that they have a great shot at making a run at the Super Bowl, and
definitely the playoffs.
Yeah, and that John Dorsey is the GOAT. We're gonna wrap this up. So,
do we put John Dorsey where the little ball witness poster used to be in the Sherwin Williams poster?
Do you get him chomping on some gum and just be like,
"It's a lot of bum," and just pointing at you like the entire city of Cleveland, saying, "Buddy boy,"
like, do you believe, buddy boy?
And play. I think that would be amazing.
That's great.
Or like the OBJ touch. The one that made it, that the famous one.
We need to do an edit of the John Dorsey on the wall.
That would be amazing. I always to be like Baker Mayfield disguised or dressed up as John Dorsey, pointing out and saying, do you believe in Cleveland, buddy boy?" That would be amazing. We're all full of good ideas over here, so I'm gonna keep them rolling.
I'm gonna keep rolling. Absolutely.
The next couple weeks here of the Browns off season.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. You guys definitely need to follow us on the social medias. So check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're all over Twitter.
YouTube. Really,
we're putting some great stuff out there. You can find us at CLE Sports Pod or Everything Is Earned. And if you like this podcast, please share it with some friends, share it with some family.
Subscribe.
You know, let people know about what's going on in the Cleveland sports world.
Give us a like. Give us a comment. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you want to hear. Because we're doing this for you guys. We want to provide the best content and the most honest content that we believe for you guys.
Yeah. So, and don't forget to give us 5 stars. We need all the stars.
All the ratings.
All the ratings. Because we're definitely going to keep growing here. And we want to...
We're only getting better. We're only continuing.
So.
We're not stopping.
Again, if you guys enjoy this podcast, please give us 5 stars. We really appreciate it.
Subscribe.
And we'll talk to you guys very soon. I'm your host, CLE Tallboy.
And I am Tim, a.k.a. It's Contagious.
And in Cleveland, everything is earned.